Good morning. We're here on our third session of this class on why grace is sufficient in daily living. And we're starting at the bottom of page 2 of your notes about answering the Pharisees. And in this section, Jesus Christ deals with the Pharisees in several sections of Scripture. And of course, the Pharisees thought they were better than everybody because they not only thought they followed the Old Testament law, but they made up all sorts of extra rules that weren't in the law. And then they did all they could to force everybody to follow all those rules. And I know Christians like that today who will see something in the Word and they'll say, boy, the Word says to do this. Well, I want to be a really good Christian, so I'll go three times as far as what it says in the Word. And what they're doing is they're making up their own rules. And if you want to make up rules for your life, fine. Like I heard you guys talking about, you know, dietary and exercise. Great. Make up all the rules you want for your life if it helps you live your life. But don't turn around and tell me that God wants me to follow your rules. They're your rules that you made up and you enjoy them. But people do that. They make up all their rules and they say stuff like, well, if God wants you to do this, surely we should go beyond what God wants and go above and beyond. And then if I don't do it, I'm a terrible Christian. But if they do it, they're all self-righteous that they're better Christians. And the Pharisees were great examples of that. So that's what we'll read about in this section. Let's start in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Only problem with electronic Bible, if you talk too long, it goes to sleep and you have to wake it up. But I know how to do that. So life is okay. If it's a paper one, it takes longer to turn the pages. So it sort of evens out. Okay, Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, he's talking to his followers here. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the scribes and Pharisees thought they were so righteous because of their works. And Jesus Christ said, you got to do better than that if you want to get into heaven. Now, of course, this was the Christ administration, which is sort of an extension of the law administration. So they still had the laws and rules to follow. And he said, you got to do better than the Pharisees. And we'll read more about this. Matthew 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, in Matthew 9:9, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. He's a tax collector. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans who were tax collectors. A lot of times a publican today is an innkeeper or tavern keeper. Runs a pub. So I call him a publican. But back in the King James English, a publican was a tax collector. Matter of fact, let's look. The good thing about these apps is I can check other translations and see what they say, just for fun. Yeah, tax collectors, tax collectors, tax collectors. Okay, that's what I thought. So verse 10, it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he was being kind to the Pharisees because they thought they were righteous, but really weren't. But Jesus Christ referred to them as being righteous. And I didn't come here, he said, to tell you guys about God, but those that really need it. Verse 14, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. No man putteth a new cloth unto a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent, the tear, is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. And especially up in that first part there, the Pharisees just, again, thought they were so important because they followed the law and their rules. But Jesus Christ said, no, I've come to call people that really need and want help. Another one in Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day, they're plucking corn. But he said unto them, verse 3, have you not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, that's the sanctified bread for the offering? I wonder what some of the other translations have for showbread. I know it's the consecrated bread for the offerings there, but let's see what they call it. Sacred loaves of bread, or the loaves that were only for the priests. Yeah. Yeah, the sacred loaves are loaves for the priests. So verse 4, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Because they work. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So again, yes, strictly the law says you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. But the whole point of that in the Old Testament law was so that people would have a day to rest from their labors and think about God. But there were times, you know, there's other times where Jesus Christ says, you know, if your colt falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, you're going to leave it there? You can get it out. Here it talks about eating the consecrated loaves. Here it talks about the priests have to work in the temple on the Sabbath. But that's okay. So people that want laws and rules always miss the bigger picture of God looking at the heart and loving God. You may, like here, all they were doing was plucking the grain so they could eat. It's not like they spent the whole day harvesting. You know, it's like if, you know, if I go in the kitchen like we did this morning, you warm up a roll or you toast a piece of bread. Are you working? Sure. But you got to eat. And it's not like you're going away from loving God and thinking about God and his word. So that's the Pharisees always wanting to make a big point of how righteous they are and how bad everybody else is. Matthew 15, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees, two of the major sects within Judaism at the time, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. You know, if you're so cool, do a miracle for us. He answered them and said, when it is evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Oh, I'm supposed to start in verse 5. That's a great section. But let's go to verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they were likely in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you brought no bread? Don't you understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Now the seven loaves of the 7,000 or of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. In other words, don't you know God's going to take care of us? We're not going to starve. But look at verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not of you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then, verse 12, understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, beware of what they teach, because they're just teaching you a bunch of rules they made up. And they're telling you to obey the law with no heart, with no concern for loving God and taking care of God's people. So that's the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then here's another one, Matthew 22. Those Pharisees, they didn't do that well. But you see, they'd been in power in Jerusalem for so long, nobody ever stood up to them. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is standing up to them, showing them they're wrong. So in Matthew 22, verse 15, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. See, that's what they were good at, was debating and tricking people in their talk. They weren't good at loving God or taking care of God's people. They were very good about maintaining their superiority by talking better than everybody else. That's what they were good at. So here they go. They're going to tangle him in his talk. Verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. They're really sucking up here. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Trying to catch him in his words. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then he saith unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him. They couldn't answer that and went their way. So they were trying in their words to trick him to do anything to maintain their intellectual and religious superiority. But Jesus Christ just shut them up. Amazing. Here's another one, Matthew 23. Here we go, next chapter. Matthew 23 and verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, you know, if they teach you the word of God, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do, why? For to be seen of men. And this is in so much of Christianity. You get all these rules, get a certain way you got to dress, a certain way to talk, certain things you can eat, certain things you can't eat, and it just goes on and on and on. And many Christian groups are like that to this day. Not all of them, but many are. Verse 5, for all their works they do, for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts, the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Reminds me of that one verse where one of these guys comes to Jesus and says, Good master! And he says, What? Why call ye me good? There's only one good, and that's God. So even Jesus Christ didn't allow anybody to call him good. And if Jesus Christ can't be called good, I think that probably includes the rest of us. What do you think?
Yeah.
It's not that we go around saying, you're an evil sinner, but we don't go around bragging, I'm the great one, or this minister or leader or somebody else is the great one. Nope. God's the great one. Jesus Christ came pretty darn close, but the rest of us are a bit below that. So we don't sit there and be all condemned and negative, but neither do we, you know, puff ourselves up and say, I'm the great one, or I like this guy, so I'm going to follow him because he's the great one. Nope. God's the great one. All right, well, let's go on. Let's see. That was Matthew 23. Let's try Mark 7. Oh, did we read Matthew 23? Oh, yeah, for a pretense, they make long prayers. They want, in Matthew 23, they want to be approved of men. Nope, we don't try to do that. If we pray, it's because we're praying and believing God and trying to help God's people. Whether we're any good at it or not, I don't know. But we're trying, and we're focusing on God and His Word, and we're not trying to say how great we are and how bad everybody else is. We're trying to say, God is great, and everybody else we love and pray for. It's a lot simpler. And here in Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Mark chapter 7. Verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, the unwashing hands, they found fault. Because, again, they had all these rules. He had to wash a certain way. It was a whole big ceremony. He had to go through the ceremony and wash and do this and do that before you ate. And so when some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is saying washing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Doesn't say the word of God, it's the tradition of the elders. They made up their own rules. And I've noticed this for years, even people that aren't Christians, they just make up something that they think is true about life or about the world, and then they defend it like it's holy writ. But they made it up because they think it's a good idea. And yeah, you're welcome to have your own ideas, but don't, you know, try to defend your own idea to me like it's the word of God. But people do this all the time. You don't even have to be a Pharisee to do that. You can just be some person that tried three things, decided the one he likes, and this is it. You got to do this. No, it's just your opinion. You enjoy it. And if you like doing it that way, go right ahead. But don't try to tell me that I'm evil because I'm not carrying out your routine, which is what a lot of people do. I mean, so many people do that in my life, but nope. So at any rate, So the Pharisees wash their hands, verse 4, when they come from the market, except they wash, they don't eat. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to what? The tradition of the elders. So they're saying right there, it's just the way we like to do it. It's the way our elders did it, and we like to do it that way. Well, you're welcome to have a tradition. You may have a Thanksgiving dinner tradition in your house, or an Easter dinner tradition, or a Sunday afternoon tradition. Great! But don't run around town saying this is the word of the Lord. It's just what you like to do. But these guys were trying to enforce their traditions on Jesus Christ and his disciples. So verse 5, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with unwashing hands? Verse 6, he answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And remember last night, God looks at the heart. People always look at the outside. Do you follow our rules? Do you dress right? Do you wash enough? Do you eat right? Do you behave and talk about the things we like? Basically, do you fit into our little paradigm or our little pattern of life that we've decided is the way you got to live? Well, as Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 7, howbeit, nevertheless, in vain, in emptiness, in worthlessness, do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, for correct teachings, what? The commandments of men. It's like I say, the really religious people will not only take the rules in the Bible, but they will add their own to make it, to just be sure. And there are some places adding extra layers are good. You know, if you're building an airplane, you want what they call redundancy. So if one system fails, there's another one. Or in cars, we want to drive safely. But we want some extra things. We want airbags, we want bumpers, we want seat belts. We want a lot of things to be extra layers of protection. So there's a time and a place where extra stuff is good, but not with the things of God. Don't make up rules and claim you got to follow them. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other things, such things you do. And look at this verse 9. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep what? Your own traditions. You reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Verse 10, for Moses said, oh, this is a great story, honor thy father and mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, verse 11, if a man shall say to his father or mother, Corban, that is to say, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. So in other words, I have a bunch of money and my parents need it and they ask me for help, but I say, no, I donated it to the temple, so I can't help you. So in other words, you're getting around the commandment of God to take care of your parents. They're fine. Verse 12, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. So they, like everybody, were looking for loopholes. But it went against the whole point of the word of God, you know, honor your father and mother. But they found a loophole, and they said, no, I'm not going to. I'll tell them it's for the temple, whether it is or not. I'll tell them that. Verse 14. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken, listen unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the thing which come out of him, those are they that defile a man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's radical. Because there were so many laws in the Old Testament about what foods you could eat. In modern day Judaism, they call those kosher. Certain foods are allowed to be eaten because they follow the Old Testament law and the rabbis approve them, and etc. But Jesus Christ said there's nothing you can put in your mouth that will defile you. What will defile you is what comes out of your mouth. Wow. Verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive, verse 18, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly. You see, again, the difference between looking at the heart and looking at the outward appearance or the outward activities. He said, sure, it goes in your belly, but it doesn't get into your heart. It's what's in your heart that really matters. You know, if you happen to have a ham sandwich, it's maybe not the best idea, but it's not in your heart. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because it entereth not into his heart, verse 19, into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come within and defile a man. So again, it's what we read last night. God's looking at the heart. The Pharisees are making a bunch of rules about what to do on the outside. Luke 7. Luke 7. And verse 36. Luke 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And when he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Verse 37, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and had wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. Verse 42, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, which was a custom at the time, because you come in wearing sandals on dusty roads. If you have an honored guest, you'd have the servants come wash his feet. He said, I entered in thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil didst thou not anoint. Now that's sort of a funny custom. We wouldn't think it's normal you go into your house and somebody brings out the mazola and pours some on your head, but in that culture, that was considered good for some reason. So verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. See, it's still going back to the heart and loving God. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with them began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith, thy believing hath saved thee. Go in peace. So again, you see a huge difference between the Pharisees, who were all worried about actions and appearance and looking good in the community and not hanging out with, quote, sinners, as opposed to Jesus Christ, who looked at the heart and saw that she loved him, and she was forgiven. Pretty wild. Luke 11, and verse 37. Okay, Luke 11:37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee, here you go again, saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Because again, the Pharisees looked on the outside activities. God looks at the heart. Verse 40, you fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Verse 41, but rather give alms of such things as you have. And behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. So they do all the outward stuff right, but they pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Nothing wrong with all the offerings. But without judgment and the love of God, it doesn't matter. Verse 43, woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets. Verse 44, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Because the law says something about if you walk over a grave, you're unclean for like a week. It says you guys are like a bunch of unmarked graves. Everybody that comes near you is defiled. Well, that's quite a statement. He wasn't pulling any punches. And Luke 14. Go over a couple more chapters. Definitely see a pattern here with the scribes and the Pharisees. Not sure. Pretty clear. Luke 14, verse 1. It came to pass that he went to the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. I looked that up. Vance, that is a certain medical condition.
Dropsy?
Yeah, I'm going to find it here for you. Bear with me a minute. We're in no hurry, and the people on the recording can just be patient. I looked this up the other day. Oh, I found it somewhere. Suffering from internal water. There's another name for it, but it's not showing up in here. Bear with me just a minute. I'm going to find it. If not, if I don't find it here, we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
But I think it might have been called edema or something.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Coming up.
Is that what you got? Yeah. Edema?
Edema. Okay.
Yeah, and you're familiar with that as a
illness?
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what he had, was edema.
Oh, okay.
We don't have to go into any more detail, but I just want to bring that up here. We'll talk more about it later. So a certain man came in and had edema, this water bloating. Verse 3, and Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they didn't say anything, because there was no good answer to that. If they said yes, then they were saying their traditions don't matter. If they said no, then they were saying they didn't want to help this guy. So they didn't say anything. Handle our peace. Verse 4, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered, verse 4, 5, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Because again, it was the heart. The whole idea of the Sabbath, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, was to take a day to reflect and think about God and pray, be with your family, all these things. But it wasn't to be stupid and not help somebody in need. But that's what the Pharisees wanted. They wanted to just follow their rules literally, religiously, and to heck with anybody. Well, Jesus Christ didn't do that. He healed the guy with the edema, the water bloating, and the Pharisees couldn't deal with it. Now here's an interesting section, Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. We're not going to go into all the detail. If you want to read more on this, go to my class on the website called The Return of the Lord. But we'll take a brief look at it. And I'll give you a brief summary. Then you can look up more in the other class if you want. Luke 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, don't confuse this with the Lazarus that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. It's another guy named Lazarus. And by the way, some of the older manuscripts include the words that Jesus Christ said this parable. So this is a parable. It's a story to teach something. It's not literally true. So there was this beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried off by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he, Lazarus, cried unto him and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest many good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he, the rich man, said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he, Jesus, said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Which was true, because Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, and the majority of the Judeans didn't believe. Now, let's look at the notes here. Some early Greek and Aramaic sources add, and he said another parable, to begin in Luke 16. And now from the Antiquities of the Jews, an early history of Judaism by the Josephus, he talked about the Pharisees. He says, they also believe that souls have an immortal vigor in them, and that under the earth there will be rewards or punishments according as they have lived virtuously or viciously in this life, and the latter are to be detained in an everlasting prison, but that the former shall have power to receive and live again. So the Pharisees, they're the ones that believed in heaven and hell. You know, if you do well, you'll go up to a nice place. If you do bad, you'll go down to a place under the earth. And it's a parable. And as I understand it, it was the gist of, say, Jesus Christ saying, okay, let's say you guys are right. There is this heaven and hell you keep talking about. So Lazarus goes up to heaven, hanging out with Father Abraham, and the rich man goes down to hell where he's tormented. And then you could send somebody back from the dead, but if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, then they wouldn't believe it anyway. But you see, he's pointing this out to the Pharisees, that they act really good, but they just don't believe the word. So it's an interesting topic. And one more to close here in Luke 18. Like I say, if you go to the Return of the Lord class in the context of the other scriptures on this topic, that makes more sense. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican, a tax collector. See, they didn't like tax collectors because, see, the tax collectors worked for the Roman government and they had to turn in so much money every year. But they could collect as much as they wanted and any extra they got to keep. So they were known as being very unscrupulous and they were hated. Well, we don't necessarily like tax collectors today either. But at least these days we have some kind of rules and laws about how much to collect. Back then it was pretty much up to the tax collector, so they weren't popular people. So, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican standing far off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. See, again, in his heart, he wasn't trying to say, look how cool I am, like the Pharisee was. He was saying, I'm nothing special, but God be merciful to me. Verse 14, I tell you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So, point of all these records with Jesus Christ and the Pharisees is that they went through a bunch of works to try to prove themselves better than others. But in every case, Jesus Christ points out that it's okay to do the works and the sacrifices, but to then not love God and his people in your heart and to think you're better than everybody and to impose rules upon everybody else is just not right. So, that's the end of this session 3.